to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the love that you have for us. God, in the midst of all of our shame, in the midst of all of the fears that we have, in the midst of all of the guilt, in the midst of all of the addictions, in the midst of all the struggles that we deal with in life, death and sickness and illness, worry and anxiety and stress, all the things that we allow into our life, God, we know that there's peace found. There's peace for our heart. There's peace for our mind. There's peace for our soul and our spirit when we just rest in the love of God, especially the love of God that was displayed on the cross through Jesus Christ. Yes. Lord, that even though we don't deserve it, we have a way to be forgiven of all of our sins we've ever committed, and a way to have eternal life in a place where there's no pain, there's no suffering, there's no sorrow, there's no worry, there's no addictions. Lord, it's just eternal glory in the presence of God forever and ever and ever. Lord, that's real love. That's what your Bible, that's what your word tells us, Lord, that is real love. Yes. This is real love, yes, that was displayed through Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for that this morning. Lord, I just pray that if somebody's here today and they're struggling, like I'm struggling with something, like everybody else is struggling with something, that you would speak to their heart this morning, God. Speak to their heart, not through what I have to say, but what your word says this morning. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you want to open up your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy, we're going to take a little break from Matthew this morning. So if you want to go ahead and find 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be in one verse this morning, verse 7. Of chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, and I'm going to be reading, I normally read from the New Living Translation, but this morning I'm going to be reading from the old King Jimmy. We're going to be reading from King James Version this morning. I'd really like the way that this translation goes, and the way that they put it out there is so simple. And the title of the sermon this morning is One Nation Under Fear. If you want to, if you're a note taker, if you look on the back of the bulletin there, there's a place for you to take notes. And I would encourage you, if you struggle with anxiety, if you struggle with any kind of worry or maybe some kind of fear that's got you, you feel like it's held you captive, take some notes this morning and you can go back and reflect on that and pray over it this week and maybe read the scripture and maybe just talk and maybe let the Lord talk to your heart this week. Don't just put God in this little box of church this morning. Last week in our conclusion of chapter 9 in Matthew, we saw where Jesus was teaching four main things. If you haven't, or three main things. If you haven't been here with us, we've been going straight through the Gospel of Matthew. So we've just been reading verse by verse and preaching verse by verse through Matthew. But this morning, God has definitely laid this on my heart, and I'm going to share that with you in just a second. But last week, we saw Jesus teaching his followers three main things. And we saw how these three things are characteristics that are found in a church that God actually uses. Not just a church that comes together and meets on Sunday and they just go out and they live their life and like it never happened, or maybe like the church is just a club to be a member of, but a church that actually is used by God has these three things and does these three things. But we also saw where these three things, they apply to our life personally. So anything that's in the Word of God, we know will apply to the church, but it'll also apply to each one of us individually, since we actually make up the church. So the church that God uses, number one, we saw last week, it continually is going out. It's reaching people where they are. That's what Jesus did, right? He went everywhere the people were. Anywhere there was a crowd, anywhere there was someone in need, he didn't wait for them to come to him. He went to them. And that's what he was teaching his disciples. A church that God uses goes. Number two, a church that God uses, we must have compassion on the lost. We must have compassion on those in need. And we see that Jesus had compassion, right? Because true compassion will lead us, we talked about it last week, into action. So it's not enough just to have compassion and feel sorry for somebody. True compassion will drive us to go meet them where they are. And number three, vision. We must have the same vision in the church that Jesus had himself. He had an eternal vision that never ended. There was no size limit. There was no church budget. There was no, well, we only have, 60 or 70 people in our church, so we couldn't do that. No, his vision was endless. It kept going and kept going, and it has kept going since he was here, and it will keep going until he returns. And we talked about this. Let the size of our God determine the size of our goals. Anybody remember that from last week? Let the size of our God determine what our goals will be. Well, today, as I already said, we're going to take a little detour from Matthew, and we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. This message was inspired by God, no doubt, okay? But it was given to my grandfather, and we called him Papaw Clore, is what we called him. Rosa called him Dad, right? But this was my grandfather's outline or whatever, and I'm not going at it from the same exact angle. I'm not preaching it word for word, but my grandfather, and the Lord gave this message to my grandfather, titled One Nation Under Fear, June 30th, 1985, and he preached it when I was 5 years old then. He preached it at Swift Run Baptist Church in Greene County before God inspired it and gave it to me. This was preached almost 35 years ago, or over 35 years ago. You see, when I was 5 years old, he preached this sermon just before the 4th of July, and he was encouraging his congregation. And I never really took the time to listen to it. I didn't even know that he had preached this message. I'd never heard it before until this past week. You see, I found a bag full of cassette tapes. Some of y'all young people don't even know what a cassette is. All right? They're like, what's that? Okay? But you know what? Even me, when I put it in the cassette player, which I had to borrow one from somebody at the church to be able to listen to because I didn't even have one, and I popped it in and it wouldn't play, and I said, man, something's wrong with the tape. And Jenny said, you got to rewind it. And so even me, I had forgot that you had to sit there and rewind it and wait for it to go back. But anyways, I began to listen to my papaw, my grandfather, who was a preacher. I got to listen to him preach this sermon, and it was so sweet just listening to his voice. I was so full of emotions. I was smiling, and I was crying, and I was laughing, and then I was crying some more, and I was saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I had a godly grandfather. Thank you for this treasure that I just found. You see, it was so awesome just to get to hear his Georgia accent, his voice, that it was like none other, and his preaching style, which I can only hope to have. But it was awesome how every word that he spoke in that sermon, as I listened to it in 1985, related to 2020 and what we're dealing with in this country perfectly. And it was because of God. It was because it was from God. It was because it was from, he was preaching from the Bible, right? And the Bible is the living word of God. It will stand forever. Other things will crumble and fall, but God told us what? His word will stand forever. And I felt the Lord tell me, he said, you need to preach this sermon. So often I miss these opportunities when God gives them to me. So often we as believers, we're guilty sometimes of just listening. We don't listen to what God really tells us, right? So God's given us these little nudges of the Holy Spirit's telling us something. Maybe you need to do that. You need to do that. But we're so busy on our own routine. I'm so busy studying Matthew, right, that I almost missed the opportunity that God gave me. I said, I don't know. We got to stick to it. We're going through Matthew. We've been in it forever. It's going to take forever. But you see, God can speak to us in these ways, and God will use all kinds of ways that he'll speak to your heart. If he can speak to my heart when I'm reading his Bible, when I'm reading his word and the scriptures that he gave us, if God can speak to my heart in a morning devotional that someone else wrote and I'm reading, if God can speak to us or speak to me during the week when I'm studying my favorite commentaries so I can come and teach you and preach, then he can speak to us this morning from a sermon that was preached in another rural church over 35 years ago. Amen? So this week, instead of me studying my favorite commentaries, I got to study directly under the teaching of my grandfather, who's in heaven right now. What a blessing. So let's get into the message this morning. The first thing we need to know, if you found 2 Timothy chapter 1, this is the first thing we need to understand every time we read the Bible, but especially this morning. When Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, he was a young evangelist. He was a young and uprising man of God who was wanting to serve God. And Paul was writing to him and to encourage him. See, he was dealing with things that we don't even, we call persecution, the government telling us that we can't have church, right? Okay, that's what we would call persecution. Timothy and Paul were living under a whole different circumstance. Paul was in prison writing to Timothy, right? So think about that. When Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, every word in this letter was inspired directly from the Holy Spirit, from God. God inspired him to write these words to Timothy. And he tells Timothy that. If you go further on, he says, every word in the Bible, every word in the scripture is God breathed. So these words that were laid upon Paul's heart to share with Timothy, but they were also shared at Swift Run Baptist Church in 1985 and with us here today at Fork Union Baptist Church. So don't just think I'm just preaching another sermon just because it's sentimental to me, right? Because that's not what it's about. So let's read that one verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. This is what it says. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord, for the reading of your word. We thank you for giving us your inspired scriptures. God, that we know that sometimes, Lord, they're there to rebuke us. But Lord, overall, they're there to really grow us to be more like you, and they're there to teach us what's right and what's wrong, and in the path that you want for our life. You gave us this map, if you will. So often we say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do, but it's right here between the pages, and we just thank you for that. God, I just pray this morning that you would speak through me, that somebody here today, we all are dealing with different things. Maybe we're dealing with just sadness or depression. Maybe we're dealing with an addiction. Maybe we're dealing with fear. Maybe we're dealing with anxiety or worry. Whatever it is, God, I just pray that you'll speak to our heart today and that we will learn to stand on the rock and to stand in your love. And when we do that, Lord, we know that your fear, that our fear doesn't stand a chance. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have you ever thought about the Pledge of Allegiance for the American flag, for the flag of the United States of America? Have you ever really thought about the words in it? See, there's one line in that Pledge of Allegiance that goes like this. It says, one nation under what, church?
God.
One nation under God. You see, from the very beginning of this country's, you know, look, we've had some good times and we've had some bad times as a country, right? We've had civil war. We've done things that we're proud of. We've done some things that we're not proud of as a country. But one thing that I believe that has kept us a great nation, right, that overall that we overcome all these things, that like the things that we're dealing with today, the things that we've dealt with in the past, how we overcome all those is the fact that we have strived overall to be one nation under God. But when we look around today, maybe when you open up Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, maybe you turn on your favorite news station. I don't care if it's Fox. I don't care if it's CNN. It's pretty plain to me to see that we are no longer one nation under God. And it breaks my heart, and I can't imagine how it breaks God's heart. Instead, we've become one nation under fear. Look around and listen to the conversations and what consumes this country. I think we could also be called this, one nation under self, right? We're all so wrapped up in what we want. What's best for me? What's best for Anthony? We're one nation under me, under self. But for today, we're going to talk about how we have become one nation under fear. Some are afraid of who's going to be our next president, right? Some are afraid of losing their job. Maybe they've already lost their job. They're thinking about losing their house or their rent or whatever. They can't pay their rent because the economy's shut down. Maybe you're afraid of death itself from this virus. Maybe you're worried about some other health issues that's going on in your life and it's keeping you up all night. You see, we have so much information available to us in this day and time that we live. It's hard for us not to be living under fear, right? You have a pain in your leg, so you Google it, all right? You say, oh, I wonder what this is going on, so you Google it. You know what the first thing it's going to tell you probably? You got bone cancer, and you got 6 months to live. So then you go to the doctor, or maybe you scroll on down a little bit further, and the last thing on there said maybe you just strained a muscle, right? Or maybe you wake up one night and your heart's you got a burning in your chest, and you're saying, oh, man, I just don't feel good. I needed some water to drink or something. My chest is burning. And you Google it. Maybe you look on WebMD and it says what? It says you're probably having heart failure. And then you realize that you had chili before you went to bed, right? And you're just having some heartburn. When it's just heartburn, sometimes we can convince ourselves that it's a heart attack. As a whole, we have become one nation that is living under fear. So the purpose of this message this morning, it's not to belittle you or me or anybody else that is in fear. It's not to belittle anybody who struggles with anxiety or anything like that. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose of this is to be challenged this morning to be a people who are willing to take a stand on the Word of God and believe it. And believe it for what it says, and not try to make it fit us, or not say that it doesn't apply to us, or it does apply to them, but not me, or whatever. We're just going to stand on the Word of God. A group of believers who want to bring our nation back to one nation under God. So you see, it starts right here. See, I think for too long we've sat silent as a church in general. We have sat silent, hoping that someone else would fix it. Maybe we're relying on our past generation. Well, man, I wish they were still here because this person was in the church and he was a mighty man of God, or she was a mighty woman of God, or whatever. I wish they were still here. They could help us. Or maybe we're thinking that the next generation will take care of it, hoping someone else will step up to the plate and make our country one nation under God again. But just like we talked about last week, just like Jesus talked about last week, the harvest is plentiful, right? The harvest is plentiful right now, but the workers are few. So let's read this verse again. Go with me back there to 2 Timothy. Let's read it again, and then we're going to break it down this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Listen to what it says this morning, church. This is one of those that you'll see on t-shirts and bumper stickers, and you'll hear all the time and read it on devotions. But listen to what God's speaking to you this morning. For God hath not... He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So Paul says what? He says, Timothy, he said, God has not given you a spirit of fear. Well, if God has not given us a spirit of fear, where does it come from? Where does it come from this morning? Where did it come from last night? Where does it come from when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're having a panic attack? I can tell you where it comes from. It comes from one of two places. Sometimes it's just us, and sometimes it's just us to bring it on ourselves. But the majority of the time, it comes from Satan. It comes from the devil. It comes from the enemy. Because you see, he always wants us to have the opposite of what God wants us to have. Paul said what? God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. See, it's opposites there. Satan doesn't want us to experience the power of God working in our life. He doesn't want us to step out in faith and say, God, this doesn't make sense, but I'm going to trust you anyways. He doesn't want that because he knows mighty things will happen. Satan doesn't want us to experience the real love of God. He wants to keep us bound up in all of our addictions and all the things that we struggle with and all of our whatever we brought in here this morning. He doesn't want us to experience the love of God. He doesn't want us to accept Christ as our Savior, because you know what? He knows when we do, when we really do, we're going to go share it with other people, right? God doesn't want us to experience God's Satan doesn't want us to experience God's love. And Satan doesn't want us to have a sound mind. If he can wrap our brains up around stuff, if he can get our minds... He's got us. He wants us to live in fear. Have you ever really been scared before? Am I the only one that's ever really been scared? So we got one person. Okay. Have you ever been scared before? Just think about it. It could be something in your life. It could be something you were worried about, or maybe someone else that you were worried about. Maybe even had a panic attack or struggled with anxiety and struggled with those times where you just cannot, your heart feels like it's going to jump out of your chest. I want to tell you this morning, your pastor deals with that. A lot of times I overthink things and I'll lay in bed and Jenny will tell me, like, just quit worrying about it. It's going to be fine. I think she just wants to go to sleep sometimes because I'm sitting there like, well, I don't know, Jenny, what about this? What about that? And she's just saying, just give it to the Lord. Well, the first thing that we have to realize about our fear is this. It's not from God. It is from Satan. So how does fear keep us from being one nation under God? See, we forget that we are part of that nation that's supposed to be under God. And so often we look at the news and we look up at what's happening in Washington, right? And what a joke sometimes that is, and how frustrating it is that what's going on with their own government, and we think that we have no say in it. All we can do is go to the polls, which we should vote. While we're speaking of that, let me stop for just a second. When you go to vote, this is your guideline on who to vote for this morning. That's all I'm going to say about that. Not one line of it, but the whole thing from front to back. Back to the sermon. Had to go there this morning. Fear works on us in different ways, okay? It beats us down. So how does fear keep us from being one nation under God? We have to remember that we are part of the nation that's under God. We live in a free country. We can worship this morning. We can speak out against our government if we feel that's necessary or that we need to, whatever. We are so blessed. We are that one nation under God. Fork Union Baptist Church is a key part of the one nation being under God. See, fear works on us in three different ways. Number one is this. If you're a note taker, I encourage you to write this down. Fear works on us physically. Fear works on us physically. You see, physical labor, if anybody in here has a job where they do physical labor, you know it makes you tired at the end of the day, right? Okay? But you know what? I like physical labor. I know, Corbin, you don't believe me. But I like physical labor. Sometimes when I'm working on something, me and Blake and Corbin came over and helped me. We built a shed roof off of the back of the garage at my house at the parsonage. And I couldn't wait to get home from my regular job. And I, even though it was hard work, I looked forward to tamping those posts and putting it in because it's just enjoyable to see the fruits of your labor and to see your work come into fruition, right? So physical labor may make you tired at the end of the day, but it's a good kind of tired. See, it's the kind of tired that gives you good rest at night. You lay down and you say, man, I'm tired and I'm ready to rest. In fact, if sometimes you can enjoy the work, whatever you're working on, physical labor can actually be enjoyable. Even doing the dishes, Grace, can be enjoyable. She's shaking her head. But see, if we're afraid that our boss won't like our work, if I'm afraid that someone's going to criticize my shed for being a little off square, which it probably is. Or maybe we're laying in bed all night and we're worrying about our work and we're worrying about what's going to happen at work or what we have to do tomorrow. Or maybe we're worried or afraid of something else that's going on in our life. This is when fear will start to work against us physically. When we're up all night in fear, when you're worrying all day throughout your job, this is what actually wears you out physically. More than hard labor. And when we get to this point, it's hard to be excited about serving the Lord. When you get to the point where you didn't get good rest last night because you're worried and your heart's getting ready to jump out of your chest or your heart broken or whatever it is that you haven't given over to the Lord, it's hard to be excited and it's hard to have energy to serve God. When you're at this point where you're so bound up and you're not resting well and you're worrying and your brain's just going crazy and your heart's going crazy all day long, it's hard for you to have time when you get home from work to serve or the energy to serve your family, right? The kids come up. A lot of times when I pull in the driveway, Lily will come running out. And I've got the running board on the side of my police car. And she'll stand up on it. And I'll put my arm around her. And she's just so happy I'm home, right? Daddy! And she comes running out. But sometimes, if I've had a bad day at work, it takes me a minute to really just stop and leave all that at work. And say, oh, I'm glad to see you, Lily. And I smile and I drive. You know what I mean? You got to leave that stuff where it is. This is what Satan wants. He wants us to be so bound up that we don't have any energy to serve the Lord. Satan wants us so worried and so living in this bound up in fear that we don't have any energy to keep our family united. And he definitely doesn't want us as a country. He doesn't want you serving your community. He doesn't want you going out helping somebody else in need. He doesn't want you giving yourself and your life to other people. But see, we can't do that if we don't have the physical energy to do it. And that's what Satan robs from us. John chapter 10, verse 10 says this, and we've heard this before. The thief, talking about Satan, this is Jesus talking. He said, the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy. That's his purpose. But Jesus says this. He says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. He wants to give you power. He wants to give you love. And he wants to give you a sound mind this morning. Satan the thief wants to rob us of the spirit of power that God has given us. Now I want to encourage you this morning. If your job is keeping you up all night and you're worried and you're so stressed, if your career is leaving you with no energy at the end of the day for serving the Lord, serving your family, and serving your country and your community, it may be time for you to begin to start praying. Say, God, I need another job. It's consuming me. That's just a little nugget for you today, and that's just a little bit of a words of wisdom from Earl Clore from his message. It spoke to my heart when I listened to it. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. And Satan wants to rob it with that fear. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this, but you will receive power. Church, say that with me. But you will receive what? Power. when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, how can I be powerful for the Lord? How can I go throughout all the earth for the Lord and be controlled by fear at the same time? It's impossible. How can we be powerful witnesses for God when we're controlled by fear? It's impossible. Fear works on you physically, even when you don't realize it's working on you physically. That's number one. Number two, the second way that fear works on us is spiritually, right? You see, fear works on us to the point where we more than we really even realize. Fear captures our feelings. It captures our heart. It affects our spirit, our spiritual life. It dominates us to the point where we're no longer going to go out and do what God created us to do. Those great things that Paul talked about in Ephesians. All those things that God had planned for you from the very beginning to do in Jesus Christ. How can we go make disciples when we're afraid to leave our house? How can we go make disciples? How can we go to the ends of the earth if we don't trust the Lord to take us there and to bring us back? Or maybe how can we just even share the gospel with somebody or share the love of Christ with somebody if we think, well, I can't do that because I'm not a good speaker. I don't know the Bible enough, so I can't do that. Okay, if you go back to Acts, what does it say? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. If you've received the Holy Spirit, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the same power that raised Christ from the grave lives in you. But you got to tap into it and you got to trust it. Fear works on us spiritually. You see, fear takes our focus off of serving others, right? And it makes our focus back on ourselves and our circumstances. Oh, Lord, how many times are our prayers this? Oh, God, please keep me safe. Oh, Lord, help me do this, or help me get over that, or help me do better at this, or whatever. We become self-centered, and we start looking at our circumstances. Paul told Timothy that God has given us a spirit of power and love. So how can we truly love others, church, if we're held captive by fear? How can you love somebody if you're held captive, if you're sitting in the prison of fear? Because love, if you don't know this, love is a verb, right? Love's not just a word that you tell somebody. How does somebody really know that you love them? You show them, right? By the actions and by what you do and how you treat them. See, love is an action. So how can we love others if we're too afraid to get out and serve them in the name of Jesus? And I don't care. I'm not talking about just the coronavirus. It goes deeper than that. I'm talking about the fear of maybe not having the words to speak or whatever, not being able to do it, whatever it is, or maybe our personal safety. See, remember, we saw this last week in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. He says what? Jesus traveled throughout all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Now, look, that sounds simple. Well, that's Jesus. He went and did that. But there was times, and we talked about it last week, where Jesus was actually run out of the town. They wanted to kill him because they didn't want him teaching there. But he still went. Jesus went out, continuously going to where the people were to reach the lost, to seek after those lost sheep that were there. So how can we be Christ followers if we're still bound up in the shackles of fear this morning? How can we be a nation that's a leading nation if we're, as a nation, we're bound up in fear? You see, Satan will use this fear to rob us of the love that God has given to us through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. And he'll keep us so focused on our fears that we'll isolate ourselves from others. Therefore, we're unable to actually share God's love with them. John 14, verse 12 says this. This is Jesus. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. All right, anybody here read the New Testament before and seen the awesome things that our Savior did while he was here on earth that God empowered him to do, that he did? Listen what he says. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done. He doesn't stop there. And he says, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. See, he gave us the advocate, the Holy Spirit, that we can do even greater things than Jesus did. What a cool promise that we have. God wants us to have the power, and he wants us to have the love that only comes from God. And Satan wants to rob both of them from us this morning. And he's robbed it from so many. Number three, the third way that fear works on us is mentally. Paul said what? God has given us a sound mind, right? A sound mind. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to have a sound mind. And I don't always have one. A lot of times on Sunday mornings before I preach, my mind is not sound. I'm all over the place. You can ask the worship band. They're trying to talk to me, and I'm thinking about, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and I'm not even looking at where we're supposed to be, where we're going over the music, and Jenny's trying to tell me something about the afternoon, and I said, don't even do it. Until I preach, I can't even hear it. See, it's a struggle. When we have that kind of mindset where we're bound up in our mind, it's not a good place to be. I don't know about you, if you're aware of this or not, but our mind is a powerful, powerful thing. The brain is amazing of the capabilities of what it can do. You look at all the great people that have come up with inventions, and you look at even just computers and space travel and all the things that we do, all the things that mankind has done, and our brains are powerful and they're amazing, but our minds can also take over our life in a negative way if we allow them. They're that powerful, they can take over in a negative way. Satan not only wants to rob us of the power that God gave us, but he also wants to rob us of that sound mind that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ, that peace that God gives us in our mind and our heart that comes from a relationship with our Savior. So when fear takes over a person's mind, fear will be the first response to every situation that they encounter. You ever know anybody like that? Or maybe you're like that. Sometimes, you know, no matter what opportunity comes in front of you, you say, yeah, but what if? Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, but I don't know. You know, that negative Nancy, right? You're just like, but what if this or what if that? Well, is my boss going to fire me? Or you spend all day just thinking about the worst case scenarios. Do those people really like me at that church? Are they really my friend? Does my spouse still love me? Am I going to get cancer? What if I get cancer? Maybe, I don't know. What's this pain in my leg? Is it cancer? Am I having a heart attack? Or maybe what if? It could go on and on and on all day long. I've been guilty of this. But so often we spend so much time and energy thinking about what could happen. All right. So we spend so much time thinking, but what if this could happen? I mean, this is a possibility. This could happen. That we miss the opportunity to see what would happen if we weren't afraid. I mean, come on, church. Y'all got to give me an amen on that. Amen. That's something I read, so I can't take credit for it. Praise God. But listen to that. It spoke to my heart this week. We spend so much time and energy thinking about what could happen. Think about it. That we miss what would happen if we weren't afraid. Did you know that 85%, if not more, of the things that you worry about will never happen? Isn't that something to think about this morning? Instead, we wear ourselves out to the point where we really never experience the freedom that God wants us to have through Jesus Christ. When we're wrapped up in fear, when we're this bound up, when we're this captivated, where our physical body is tired, maybe our spiritual life has gone down the tubes because we're just so self-centered. We don't share the love with other people that we should be. We're not really accepting the love that God has given us. When our mind is so boggled down by fear, the devil's happy. He's just standing there with that devil grin because he has you right where he wants you. He has me right where he wants you. When he sees the nation that's supposed to be one nation under God, under fear, and attacking each other, the devil's just sitting back and he's laughing. And he's got us held captive. And he's got us right where he wants us. My grandfather told a story in his sermon, and it goes something like this. A lady was walking down the street. And if y'all know me, I always come up with simple illustrations, so maybe I got that from him. A very simple illustration. She's walking down the street in her neighborhood. She sees this young boy on one of the neighbor's porch, and he's reaching for the doorbell, and he can't reach it. And she goes over, just being a kind neighbor and wanting to help the boy. She felt sorry for him. She goes and says, here, son, let me help you ring the doorbell. And as soon as she rings the doorbell, she hears the boy say, "Now run like crazy." You see, he was pranking the people, and she just helped him do it. So she takes off. The kid just runs off and leaves the woman standing there. Have you ever heard of people ringing people's doorbells like this and running like crazy? Where's Blake at? Blake and Izzy were guilty of doing this. They came in one night. We were over at Kip and Kat's, and we were having dinner, and they came in, and they were they're breathing all heavy, and they're laughing, they're snickering, and once we got to the bottom of it, found out that they were going around, you know, that little neighborhood there, ringing people's doorbells and running like crazy because they were scared of getting caught. You see, so often this is our first response to fear, isn't it? Isn't it? When fear comes knocking or whatever, what are we going to do? When fear seems like fear hits us or fear is coming or something we're scared about, what do? We run like crazy. We'll run to an alcohol bottle. We'll run to prescription drugs. We'll run to relations, whatever it is. We can go. Did you know that 1 out of every 8 adults in America meets the criteria of being an alcoholic? Think about that, church, for just a minute. Are we one nation under God? Or are we one nation under fear? 1 of every 8 adults in the United States, that's just the adults, meet the criteria for being an alcoholic. Now look, this isn't beating up on somebody who struggles with alcoholism this morning. This is just stating the fact of how much we need to hear God's word. So many run to prescription drugs. Millions and millions of people are addicted to some sort of prescription pill in the United States of America. We'll run to all kinds of things when we're afraid. But we never run to God. We so often we put Him last on the list. It could be overeating. It could be a toxic relationship. It could be whatever, whether it be just a friendly relationship or some kind of physical relationship. We run to things that aren't good for us, trying to find comfort in our fear. We'll run like crazy to the first thing that will give us the immediate relief to our anxiety or our fears. When in reality, not only are they just a temporary relief, right? All those things are just temporary. I don't care how much I drink today. I'm going to wake up tomorrow. Not only am I going to not feel better than I did, but I'm going to feel worse. Because it leaves you in a worse place than you felt in the day before. We run to all these things when we should be running to the Lord. So as we close this morning, I want to share a personal experience that I had with you. And some of you, I've told you this before, involving fear. I was scared to death when God called me to be the pastor of this church. I mean, scared to death. Every bit of me did not want. I had a letter that I had to turn back into the church that I had to mail back by a certain date. And you know, I waited until the day when I knew it was cutting it down to the wire that the postage stamp could get it there. And I was scared to death. I was sitting up at night and I was worrying and I'm tossing and turning. And Jenny just said, Anthony, you need to take this to the Lord. Just give it to the Lord. Quit worrying about it. It's going to be fine. She didn't worry about it one bit. She was excited about it. And deep down, I was excited about it, but I was thinking, well, what if I fail? What if I only can come up with one sermon, and then next Sunday I can't come up with a sermon? What am I going to do? How much time will I be able to make this work with my other job? And how is this going to work? And one night I just sat and I prayed. And it wasn't because I'm such a holy man. It was out of desperation. I said, God, I need rest. I need some peace with this. God, I need to know what you want me to do. And I started to doze off into the best sleep I've ever had in my life. And God woke me up. Woke me up with these words on my heart. You go preach the word, Anthony. You go love those people. And let me worry about the rest. And I slept like a baby. I got the best sleep that night because all my fears were given to God. So what I'm telling you this morning is that when we take our fears to the Lord, it will work. It will work. It's not just some kind of little, Bible verse that's supposed to inspire us and make us feel better. It'll work. The power of God is real and it'll work in our life if we allow it to and if we really trust in it. But we have to believe that God has the power and the love to really give us that peace of mind, that peace that surpasses all understanding. We got to believe it this morning. There's somebody here this morning that's struggling with fear. I'm not the only one. They might even be asking themselves this. Does God even care about me? Does God even care what I've been through in my life? Does God even care about what I'm going through, what I'm worried about? Or how could He be worried about it with all the other things going on in the world? Well, I want to encourage you this morning. God does care about you. And He created you. Knit you together in your mother's womb. And He has a plan for you. God does have the power to help you this morning. In fact, did you know that the phrase fear not in the Bible, fear not, or something just really close to that, fear not, is recorded over 365 times. It's actually 365 times recorded in the Bible. How many days in the year are there, church? In our calendar year, there's 365. Every day we can go somewhere in the Bible and we can find where God tells us to not be afraid. Fear not. It seems like God might be telling us something this morning, right? Romans 8:31 says this. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Will you take a stand today on the love of God? Will you stand on the rock like we talked about in the song? Will we as a church stand on the truth today? The enemy wants us to be slaves this morning to fear, to addictions, to all these things we run to. He wants us to be divided as a church. Should we wear masks? Should we not wear masks? Should we go back to school? Should we not have school? Should businesses open back up? Should we be able to sing in church? All these things we've all talked about. It's time for us as Christ followers to stop running like crazy. Stop running like crazy and do what we can right here in Fork Union, Virginia, to bring one nation, this nation, to be one nation under God. Amen? Remember, we can't rely on the bigger church down the road. We can't rely on the churches in the city to do it. It starts with every individual body of believers. It starts with this church right here in this community. We need to do what we can to bring this country back to being one nation under God. It's time for us to live in that spirit of power and love and sound mind that God has given us. And it's time that we turn the table around a little bit and we turn around to 180 and we make Satan run like crazy. In the name of Jesus, we say, Satan, you take off and get running. I'm not running anymore, Satan. It's your turn. In the name of Jesus, you will run and you'll flee. That's what time it is, church, for us to stand up. My grandfather used this quote at the end of his sermon, and I want to share it with you today. He says, fear knocked on my door. Faith answered. And no one was there. Listen to that this morning, church. Fear knocked on my door. And faith answered. To find out there's nobody there. When fear comes knocking, don't run like crazy. Open the door in faith, trusting God that He'll get with you. He hasn't left you. He hasn't abandoned you. He never will. Trust in Him this morning. And when you do, you'll find that there's no one there. The things that we worry about, We just read it. 85-90% of the things that we worry about never even happen. Trust in the Lord this morning. If God is calling you this morning, this is how we conquer our fears. You fully rely on God's power, God's love, and His peace, and that sound mind that God gives us, and we surrender it all to Him. Amen? All you have to do this morning is simply surrender your life, surrender your will, surrender your fears to Jesus. That's all He's asking you to do this morning. So if God is calling you this morning, I would pray, and I hope that you would respond to Him this morning. If you don't feel comfortable coming and praying with me or whatever, you can come and pray at the altar. You can come here, kneel down in the front or whatever. You can pray right where you are. And all you have to say is a simple prayer like this. God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm not going to live forever. I've done things that I'm not proud of. I've run to this. I've run to that. I've made these mistakes. But God, I want to stop it right here today, and I want to bring it to You. And I ask in the name of Jesus that You'll come into my heart and be my Savior and forgive me of my sin and help me to grow more like You. It's that simple. If God is calling you this morning, come as we sing.